University of Chicago, and I believe Brown. I'm not sure about that. But Catholic U interpreted philosophy as it was originally interpreted, love of learning. And you were expected to have minors as well as a major. And for the major in English, you chose 5 periods of English literature. And I took from Beowulf through the 18th century. And for minors, I took philosophy for first minor, because I was just very much interested in it. And linguistics for a second minor, because I was fascinated by languages. And I took the, and we had to have qualifying examinations in French and German. Well, I took French immediately because I had awful teachers in French, both native speakers who knew how to teach. And for German, I had audited just in spots whatever I could hear, but I was always being called out of class to take people through the building or to talk with people who had come for information and so forth. And I didn't get much, although the German teacher was splendid. She was so good. I have to digress a little bit about Sister Mary Callista. She had grown up in a German community and had spoken German as well as English all her life, because she was of Irish descent. And in those days, sisters were not supposed to have family names or anything, you know. Everything was secret about us. And the girls couldn't understand. She didn't appear to be German, and yet her German, they knew, was faultless. And they just couldn't make out what she really was. And of course, because everything was so secret, it was exciting and interesting. So Callista took an old elementary German book, and on the flyleaf she wrote her name, Katrina Himmelstein, and left it on her desk. Well, of course, one of the girls picked, they found a book with her name in it. It was Katrina Himmelstein, she was German. That fellow's question, everything was all right. Well, I learned things I will never forget. Ausbein mit nach too. Always govern the native case. And es gibt alle neue Gesel, which was the end of the Aesop's fable about the man and his son who were going to town, and they had the donkey pulling them out of the cart, and the donkey, or they were riding the donkey, and the donkey got so tired it couldn't go any farther. So they got off and took a long pole and tied the donkey by his 4 legs over the pole, and they carried the donkey to town on their shoulders. And it ends, es gibt allerlei Esel. And she had a carved wooden hound with long ears sitting up and looking very doleful. And his name was Fußgänger, foot walker. Pedestrian, that was the word for pedestrian, Fußgänger. So when we saw anybody jaywalking, we saw Fußgänger. I remember things like that from the German. And then at Catholic U, I took the French exam immediately and sailed right through it, of course. But I didn't know how I'd ever get through a German exam, so I took what I thought was an auditor's card for a German reading course. And it was evidently designed for preparation for exams. It had essays on engineering and poetry and all kinds of things in it. It was very interesting. And I took the exam at midterm just for fun, just to see how much I knew from it. And I got the exam back with a B on it, which was pretty good because I was spending all my time on the English, naturally. And at the end of the term, I said to the priest who was teaching, Dr. Long, I don't think I'll take the exam, the final examination, because I'm just auditing. And I have to give my time to my major. And he said, oh, you're not an auditor. And I said, oh, yes, I am. And then light dawned. It was an undergraduate course, and I knew it. And he said, oh, what color car did you take? I said, I took a white one. The graduate school was in gold, Audrey. And he said, oh, in the college, white is registration. He said, you're getting credit for it. So I started cramming German, and I got a B in it. One thing has helped a great deal. Was reading German newspapers. I stopped in the library and read German newspaper every day. And of course the poetry stuff from Sister Mary Callista's class. I still remember every evening when I get on the elevator after dinner and I am so tired, I have this wouldn't be in any paper. I have sideroblastic anemia, which means that the red corpuscles refuse to pick up as much iron as they should, and that my lungs run out of oxygen too soon. And it's supposed to have the same effect on my brain, my memory. But,
do you want me to stop taping you while you're talking about that?
I remember too much.
It's wonderful.
And so far, it hasn't struck at anything serious. I forget names. Everybody around here forgets names. We joke about it, you know. There are 100 old women, all of us more or less decrepit. but a serious thing, no. So, anyway, I had a very checkered educational career, and my parents both became ill. There were no nieces or nephews, no one to help them out, and I got permission to go home for 6 months. That was provided by the family to take care of them, and I did, and they made a remarkable improvement. And then periodically I was able to go back to see that everything
was fine.
So forth. We had people to stay with me when I could. But anyway, it all came through. I'm afraid I have not told you the things you needed to know.
Yes, because you told me about your education, your family, really the very early days of the college, your community life, how that came about, your travels, the things that just interest you so much. And that's really what I wanted to know.
The community life was really very wonderful, and this was one thing that helped a lot, was that four of us younger people were appointed to help Sister Mary Angelita with the foundation of periodicals, of the materials here. And in the spring of the second semester of the college, we started a literary magazine, The Klebsider, a poetry anthology, Quest, a newspaper, Skyscraper, mm-hmm. and a yearbook, The Tower. And we would work very, very hard on those things. We were all teaching, pretty heavy schedule, mm-hmm. until 2 in the morning. We'd have bitter cocoa and some rolls by 11 o'clock, because we couldn't have anything after midnight, of course. And we take the news the next day.
Yes.
Thank God for John 23rd. Who I was to see eventually. And then we would take Sister Maria Angelita up to her room at 2, and the four of us young ones would go down and clean the publications office, which was 506, wonderful room. And God help us if there was a crack on that polished floor the next morning. And we'd get back to our rooms about 3 in the morning. I remember one morning, and I look across at the skyscraper now, and I look at those 2 windows in the center of the 13th floor, and I think I was the first person to live in that room. And I remember going into it at 3 o'clock one morning, and there was a white pigeon sitting on the windowsill, and it amused me so much I went and got Sister Mary Madalena from her room on the corner. I said, come see the Holy Ghost on the windowsill. We had a lot of fun. We were so tired that we were punch drunk half the time. But it was a wonderful year, and we knew that we were being blessed with helping to do something that had never been done before, and that was very important to the women of Chicago.
Yes.
Rosary had been invited in from Cincinnati, but what they went to was Oak Park, mm-hmm. which was almost inaccessible to people of ordinary means. And the Cardinal wanted a college for women of moderate or very low means, mm-hmm. right in the city, mm-hmm. which would be available by public transportation. Mm-hmm. Loyola was not coeducational at that time, he looked the ball. And this seemed like the right spot and the right time, and the education of women had been a top priority for us from the beginning, so that was the natural thing to do. Then Sister Mary Amite had twisted my arm during her presidency to get me to look for a grant for foreign study. It was 1961. Students were going on Students for Democracy grants and so forth to Europe, loads. And she felt that the community, the sisters, showed up badly for their lack of travel experience. Mm-hmm. And I said, I think younger people should get these grants because they have more time to use them. I was commissioned to feel old. I was 58. I'm 90 now. And she said, try the AAUW. I said, deadlines are passed anyway. And she said, try the AAUW. She said, some of these organizations prefer mature scholars. So I went up, and you'd think I had planned it all. I sat down and wrote a page about Thomas Holman, why his life should be written. I said it'd be a pushover to get a grant for that, because you can't get anything in literature now. Everything was American studies. And she said, "Who's he?" Nobody knew who he was. Nobody except people who lived in Philadelphia. I knew about him because he was one of my ancestors. And we always kind of, I don't know why, we kind of grinned about his having laid out the city of Philadelphia. But anyway, then I did a page about what I would do with $3,000. They gave it to me, and $3,000 in 1961 was a lot more money than it is now. And then I wrote a page about my own background and the people I thought would recommend me, one of whom was the head of the English Department of Wisconsin, whom I didn't know but was considered the top Milton scholar of the day, and who had spoken very highly of my dissertation at Modern Language Society convention. So I thought he'd be friendly, and he was, and it was lovely. And I had had a course in Jacobean drama from one of the librarians of the Fulton Shakespeare Library, and he had given me an eye on it, so I put that down. And anyway, I got a big, thick packet of application blanks back by return airmail. And they said that the winners of the grants would be announced the 1st of March. And the third week of February, I got another airmail special delivery, big pack saying that I had been awarded Marion Talbot Fellowship. And the congregation was beautiful. Sister Mary Cecile, who has since died at the age of 101, offered to give my examinations for me. Sister Mary Anita said, "Get out of here as soon as you can. We'll advance you the money, and then when the grant money comes in, we'll subtract from that whatever the college advance has been." So we did that. I had my grade all ready except the final exam. Cecile stood over the final exam for me. A former student and editor, when the publications we had started were finally divided among us, Sister Mary Madalena was appointed to do the skyscraper. I was appointed to do the yearbook. And Sister Mary Angelita kept the creative writing. One of them was still a student. And the other went on into psychology or what it was supposed to be in. And in Holy Week of that first year, Sister Mary Angelita sent for me. And she said, "Sister, I'm going to have to retire now. And you are to take over the magazine and the poetry anthology." And she said, "Sister, it isn't that bad." I said, "I didn't say anything." She said, "No, but you turned green." And she was dying of cancer. We didn't know that she had struggled with cancer all this time. But that wasn't the first year, that was the fourth, that was the last. And the two girls who were editors-in-chief of the magazine were absolute darlings. One is dead now. Her father had been a friend of William Butler Yeats and the Irish Renewal, and before he came to America. And the other, Gertrude Scanlon, was so little, we called her Peanut. The cutest kid. She was going with a Loyola senior who was a darling. And Gertrude is still a very dear friend of mine, and we've been in contact all of these years. She graduated exactly 7 years after I graduated from college. Of course, course, I'd had a good deal of experience in between that she hadn't. And her husband, she married Dan shortly after school was out. And Dan, it was still depression years, 34, charter class. Dan's father had given him $38 for a new suit for graduation. And he was so proud of that suit, he just had to wear it to school to show to the guys. He wore it in chemistry class. He had a wrong mix with sulfuric acid. It blew up and blew the back off the suit. But we could cry for him. It was tragic. It was terrible. And at the same time, it was so funny. We were furious over poor Dan. And they were married. They went to Washington. He was a what do you call it? Now my memory's hitting me on things like that. I know the words well, but I know my own name. Argues for particular points. He was one of these for the Business. Smaller business organization. One day he dropped dead in his Senate corridor and left Gertrude with two daughters and a son. And it was a great blow. And Gert kept on writing. She wrote columns and she got a job, and when I was studying in Washington, she was working for, the summer I was teaching in Washington was fun. She was working for Eugene McCarthy in his office, and she would say, when you hit a good stopping point, drop in and we'll go to lunch. So when I hit a good stopping point around noon, I'd go over to across from the Library of Congress that was before the new building was operative. And we'd go down to the trolley and go over to the Senate dining room. And I met a good many senators that way and overheard a lot of gossip, you know. It was good. It was fun. And she also introduced me to the newspaper box, they called it. A little restaurant a couple of doors from the Supreme Court building. So if I was down there when she wasn't, or if I didn't want to take the time for the Senate jaunt, I could drop in there. And that was interesting too, though there weren't very many reporters around at that time of day. Mm-hmm. But it was where the reporters from that area congregated. And
Irma, it's after 12.
Oh my goodness. And you haven't had any lunch?
Well, no, this has been wonderful.
Has it given anything that you wanted?
Oh, absolutely. I had an outline, but I knew what was in it.
I should have let you
know. You have done what I needed and what I wanted.
This is one thing. People expected me to be heartbroken over the amalgamation with Loyola, but I wasn't at all. I had felt at times that Loyola was a big bear hovering over our shoulders waiting to grab us, but when the time came, I didn't feel that way at all. I felt that Mundelein had accomplished what God wanted us. And by this time, Loyola was taking in women, so that a separate women's college was not needed. Mm-hmm. It had something that Loyola needed very much.
Absolutely.
And that was the women's special opportunities, mm-hmm. and the weekend college.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no regrets, and I feel that Carolyn has done a magnificent job.
Yes.
Nice. And then when I won the $2,500 prize for the book that I finally got to write, for which I had collected material in the early 60s, which came out in 92, I was able to give $1,000 to the Gannon Leadership Fund and $1,000 to the Coffee Mature Women's Scholarship Fund, because I felt that I would never have done the book if it hadn't been for Sister Marianne Ida.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that anything I could do to make Sister Mary Justicia's work and name appreciated a little bit more was worth it. And I had $500 to contribute to our own retirement fund. But
This will be wonderful for the archives and for people who are interested in you and also in Mundelein College and in the development of women.
Well, it's been a checkered life, but it's been lots of fun.
I'm going to stop.